remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Good evening, this is Jay Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present The American Master Counterfeiters, starring Fran Chautoun. If there is genius among criminals, we have its proof tonight. For you're about to hear one of the most amazing true stories of crime ever recorded by the Treasury Department. And you're going to meet two men who might have ranked among history's greatest engravers had they not chosen crime instead. Here to reenact their incredible careers is that very able actor and likable fellow, Fran Chautoun.
Thanks, Jay. I'm as excited about playing this part tonight as if I were on the trail of those counterfeiters myself.
I better warn you, Francho, we have a fellow here who knows a lot about the Secret Service.
A Secret Service man?
No, the man who wrote up the original case for the Reader's Digest and to whom the inside records were made available.
Good night. Everything I say will be held against me.
Not if you say the right words.
The right words? Oh, I get it. You mean like the words in a Hallmark greeting card, right?
Right, Francho. The warm, friendly words that say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. And Hallmark, the finest greeting cards, are identified
by... I'll tell you, Jay, by those three words on the back, a Hallmark card.
Right again, Francho. Those are the words that tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now let's take our listeners to the office of the Secretary of the United States Treasury, Washington, D.C. The year is 1897. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition the dramatic true story of the American Master Counterfeiters, starring Fran Chautoun.
Good heavens, this is the most remarkable counterfeit I've ever seen. As Secretary of the Treasury, I hereby order all the $100 Monroe notes withdrawn from circulation immediately.
That was Secretary Lyman Gage speaking. And when the President Monroe $100 bills were withdrawn from circulation, there began one of the most baffling investigations ever undertaken by the United States Secret Service. In Washington, in the office of William H. Moran, the investigation got underway when Moran called in Fred Chandler, a rising young Secret Service investigator.
I called you in to ask your opinion, Chandler.
About what, Mr. Moran?
This bill on my desk, some darn fool in a little bank in Pennsylvania turned it in as a counterfeit. The Treasury experts say it's genuine, but to double-check, they've asked me to look at it. What do you think?
Well, if the Treasury experts say it's genuine, I do, too.
Well, look it over anyhow. Here, take it.
Mm-hmm. Turn that light this way, will you? Mm-hmm. This is printed on Treasury stock.
Yes, everybody agrees on that.
Well, then, I don't see how anyone could think it's counterfeit.
Look it over.
All right. Hmm? It looks all right. Everything checks. Everything's... Hey, wait a minute. See this star? The star just above the word states?
Yes.
Well, the engraver's tool dug too deeply there.
Yes, I guess you're right.
But that doesn't mean anything. It's a small blunder. The engraver was probably tired.
Then your verdict is...
That note is genuine.
I see. Chandler.
Yes, sir?
See these two pieces of paper?
Uh-oh. You've got a case for me, haven't you, Mr. Moran?
Yes, I have. These two pieces of paper were once one piece of paper, government stock. It was a $1 bill, Chandler, but somebody bleached it, split it in two, turned the face and back inward, and stuck it together again with rice paste. Then what do you think happened, Chandler?
Then they engraved a plate, used a printing press, and made it into a $100 Monroe note.
Right. And if we took this note that you've declared genuine and soaked it in water, as I did with the other one, it had come apart the way the other one did, and you'd admit it was counterfeit, Chandler.
This is the cleverest thing I ever heard of.
And that's why the Secretary of the Treasury has withdrawn $26 million in Monroe notes from circulation. These are the wiliest, smartest counterfeiters this country ever knew. You're to find out who they are. You're to catch them.
Mm-hmm. May O'Connell work with me?
By all means.
And where were the notes picked up?
Philadelphia.
Well, I guess I go to Philadelphia, then. I think I'll be a businessman this time.
Not yet.
Well, turn off the printing press anyway.
Okay.
I get sick of doing that kind of work. Handbills.
Well, Harper says we ought to lay low for a while, keep up appearances. And as he saw at us...
Well, I don't blame him. We were darn fools. We should have waited until we ran off $10 million worth of those notes, just as he planned. But no. We had to get proud of our craftsmanship and pass those bills. Now they've taken the $100 bills out of circulation, and we have to do the job with 50s.
Now, do you think Harper's scheme will work? Depositing all that money in all those banks all over the country and then drawing them gradually into one account?
Harper's a smart man. His scheme will work. If we do what he tells us, we'll be independent for life.
I suppose so. Well, I better start up the press. May as well finish these handbills.
Handbills.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Stop the press, Kendall.
I'm looking for Mr. Watson, Mr. Kendall.
I'm Watson. This is Mr. Kendall.
Delighted to meet you, gentlemen. My name's Chandler. May I sit down?
Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I've been inquiring among people in the printing trade, and my inquiries have led me to you.
What inquiries?
I've been inquiring as to who are the best engravers in the city of Philadelphia. And everyone says you are.
We are.
So I've come to you. I'm about to open a business here.
We're not interested.
Wait a minute, Kendall. Let's hear what the man has to say. What kind of business are you opening?
I'm going to market photo engravings. The highest type of work will be required.
We're pretty busy. We're doing some handbills right now, and there's other work waiting for us.
Yeah, I've heard you've been turning down work, but my prices are the highest in the market.
We're too busy.
Even if you were interested in the work I have for you?
Even if we were interested in the work.
Which we're not.
Well, couldn't I just tell you
about...
No. Gentlemen, you don't make it very easy for me. I'd like to explain...
We're not interested.
We're very busy, Mr. Chandler.
I see. Well, then, I'll go. I'm sorry you're not interested, gentlemen. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well.
I don't like it, Watson.
No?
No. To me, he smells like a cop.
I know, and you handled it wrong. We should listen to him. We should have considered his offer. We should have thought it over and then turned it down.
You think he guessed?
If he's a cop, he guessed before he came here. Now he's not guessing. Now he's sure.
Hello, Chandler. What luck?
We'd better have someone follow Watson and Kendall.
They're the ones?
I think so.
How can you be sure?
Well, they're sitting in their shop talking about how busy they are, but all they're doing is printing handbills. I offered them a job. They turned it down without even hearing the price.
Okay, I'll put a man on them.
And, O'Connell.
Yeah?
If they're guilty, they must suspect me of being a Secret Service man. You take over from now on.
You're bowing out of the case?
Not at all. Those men aren't clever. There must be someone else masterminding this operation. You let me know whenever these men contact anyone, and I'll take on that aspect of the case.
Right.
Chandler speaking.
This is O'Connell. Listen closely. Watson and Kendall went to Lancaster today to see a cigar manufacturer named Harper.
I got it.
Harper has a warehouse on the outskirts of the city. Watson and Kendall stayed with him there all day, then came back to Philly.
I got it. Harper, cigar manufacturer, warehouse, Lancaster.
You got it.
All right, I'm off to Lancaster. Say, isn't that the place where that bright kid lives, Tommy Fenton, the one who helped us with the narcotics case?
Yeah, you gonna use Tommy?
Very likely.
Good luck.
Tommy?
Hello, Mr. Chandler.
You've been watching the warehouse?
Yes, sir.
The coast clear?
Yes, sir. Mr. Harper went to lunch.
And the helper?
He's gone, too.
All right, Tommy. You see what I got here?
A baseball bat.
And a glove and a ball. How are you at gobbling up grounders, Tommy?
Gee, Mr. Chandler, I thought we were going to do some detecting.
We are. But we're not going to look as if we were detecting.
Oh, I see.
All right. You take this glove and ball back up there.
Okay.
Not too far.
Is this okay?
That's fine. Now, pitch it to me. But just lob it over. I don't want to miss it.
Coming at you.
After it, Tommy.
Got it.
That's the old way to get in there, Tommy, old boy. That's the old way. You
Is there anyone on the street behind me, Tommy?
There's a man walking by.
All right. Put it right over the old plate of that, Tommy, old boy.
Coming at you.
Get on your horse, Tommy.
How's that for a catch?
Beautiful. Beautiful catch, Tommy. Is that man gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
All right. Get it right over the plate, Tommy. Hurry, Tommy.
Here it is. My gosh, Mr. Chandler. Cheese it.
Oh, Tommy, whoa.
But we broke a window.
That's what I wanted to do.
I thought you were placing that hit.
Come on. Come with me, Tommy. You see, we were playing baseball. Our ball went through a window. That sort of gives us the right to go in there. Have a look for our ball, don't we?
Oh, my gosh, I get it.
Okay, here we are. I think I can get my hand through this hole and unlock the window. Uh-huh. There we are. Anyone looking?
Nobody.
Fine. Let's go in. Well, here we are.
There's the ball.
Let's pretend we don't see it, Tommy.
Okay.
If anybody comes, we're just looking for it.
Okay.
Now then.
What are we looking for, Mr. Chandler?
A baseball?
No, really, what are we looking for?
Well, we might be looking for this. What would you say this is, Tommy?
Box full of tobacco leaves.
Yeah, but under the tobacco leaves.
Hey, those are revenue stamps, aren't they?
Well, they look like revenue stamps, Tommy.
Why should anyone hide revenue stamps under tobacco leaves, Mr. Chandler?
I don't think I'm going to tell you that, Tommy. Uh-huh. Now, look at this machine.
Looks like a machine to press clothes.
Yes, it does. Everything in this warehouse looks like something else.
Mr. Chandler, someone's in the other room.
Hey, who broke this window?
Here, let's get out this back door.
You go, Mr. Chandler. I've got an idea.
Come on, Tommy.
No, you go, Mr. Chandler. I lost my ball. Go ahead, Mr. Chandler. I lost my ball.
I've got to go now. Good luck, Tommy. Good luck.
Hey, what's going on here? Who are you? What are you doing here?
I lost my ball. I knocked it through the window and I can't find it.
I lost your ball, eh? Okay, come on. I'll help you find it.
Tomorrow creeps in its petty face from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted bulls.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Harper. Excuse me, sir.
You're supposed to have an hour for lunch. Where have you been?
Well, Mr. Harper, there's been a stock company coming to town. I watched them get off the train at the depot. I tried to get a word with the manager.
Stock company, you stage struck fool. Come on, snap into it. We've got work to do.
All right, Mr. Harper. What's the matter?
There was a kid in here during the lunch hour. He said he threw his ball in here. He said he was looking for it.
Well, what of it?
Maybe nothing of it, but how can I tell? We've got to get some stuff out of here and fast.
Well, sakes alive. Just like a play, eh? Let's go, Mr. Harper. Hello.
Hello, boy. We're coming in.
We want to see Mr. Harper.
He's in the back room. Mr. Harper! You're strangers around here, aren't you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be connected with the stock company, would you?
Stock company? Not a chance. Why, son? Are you interested in the stage?
Yes, sir. I'm the best amateur actor in Lancaster. And I'm going to be a professional just as soon as I get a chance.
Well, who knows? We might be able to give you that chance.
Then you are with the stock company.
Well...
Be calling me, Joe.
Are you Mr. Harper?
I am.
We want to talk to you.
Alone?
It might be a good idea.
Joe, get down to the corner and get me a Coke and take your time.
Yes, Mr. Harper.
I see you know who we are, Mr. Harper.
No, I'm just courteous. What do you want?
We've got a search warrant here. See?
I see it.
It's all over, Harper, but I want to say this. Without making any promises, you might get off easily if you give testimony against Watson and Kendall.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about some counterfeit $100 bills.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
All right, but remember what I said.
Now, come into the back room with us while we have an official look at those fake revenue stamps and that printing press.
Look, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking
about. Quiet. Come on, let's go. Where are they, Chandler?
They're right.
Well, come on. Where are they, Chandler?
They aren't here. They've been moved. I guess you'll win, Harper. This time.
Continue with the second act of tonight's true story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented to you by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. Right now, though, I'd like to acquaint you with another story of interest and importance. 3 years ago this month, one of the world's most famous paintings was rediscovered, hidden in a German salt mine. In this picture, a young merchant of the 16th century stands at the tapestry-covered table he uses for a desk. Before him are pens, letter opener, metal money box, scissors, and other tools of his trade, so lifelike you feel you could reach out and grasp them. Here is the meticulous attention to detail that so often characterizes genius. The painstaking care that produces nothing less than a masterpiece. And on the wall is a Latin motto, doubly significant because it expresses the guiding principle of the great Hans Holbein who created this famous work. The motto says simply, no pleasure without care. This, too, could be the motto of the makers of Hallmark cards. For the most painstaking care goes into the expression of even the simplest sentiments, designed to give pleasure to those who receive them. You see, the Hallmark folks are not making just cards. They're creating Hallmark cards, greeting cards that convey warmth and friendliness and affection. Cards that have a wonderful way of saying just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. And that's why those three identifying words on the back, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now our program continues with Act Two of The American Master Counterfeiters, starring Fran Chotone. It was a stalemate. Chandler and O'Connell, the Secret Service agent, stayed in their hotel rooms in Lancaster. While in Harper's warehouse, there was no activity. Clearly, the case would never be cracked until one side or the other made a move. Chandler finally made that move. He went to visit Harper in the warehouse.
I don't suppose you're here to buy tobacco, Chandler.
No.
What are you here for?
Well, I don't like to see a man's business go to pieces.
My tobacco business is flourishing.
I know.
Well?
But the Secret Service suspects you of being in another line of business, too.
I can't help what the Secret Service suspects.
So suppose you were in that other line of business.
Which I'm not.
Which you're not, of course, Harper. But suppose you were. You wouldn't be able to conduct that business right now.
And not with all the operatives you have watching this place, I wouldn't.
Oh, you haven't spotted, then.
Yes.
Harper.
Yes?
I assigned those operatives to watch you.
You said that before.
I'm the only one who can call those operatives off.
Yes?
Yes.
You see. Not smart enough, Chandler. Call the operatives off, then raid me in a couple of days and find...
An imaginary printing press?
Yes, the imaginary printing press. Find that here and put me in jail.
Oh, it wouldn't work that way. Because, you see, we couldn't get another warrant to search this place without an excellent reason. We shot our bolt when we used the first search warrant. Unless our operatives see something suspicious coming in here.
And, you're the one that can call those guys off.
I'm the one.
I see.
I hope you do.
Chandler.
Yes?
You know my middle name?
Yes.
I'll bet you $1,000 you can't remember it.
Bet me $1,500, just to make it interesting.
All right. $1,500.
All right. Your middle name is Victor.
My gosh, you're right. Come on over the safe here. I'll give you your $1,500.
Thank you.
Mr. Chandler.
Hello, Joe. Come right in. You remember Mr. O'Connell, don't you?
Oh, yes. Hello, Mr. O'Connell.
Hello, Joe.
Well, Joe, you all ready to become an actor?
Sir, I've been ready for years.
All right. Now, here's a costume for you to slip on.
Oh, gee. Do you think the stock company manager will give me a part?
I don't know. You take off your coat and pants and slip this on. What do you think, O'Connell?
Well, now, it won't be a very big part, if you get it. And anyway, the manager wants to see you in the costume before he makes up his mind.
Here, you can hang your clothes on this chair.
Oh, thanks.
Now, get into this costume.
Gee whiz. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in its petty face from day to day. To the last...
There you are. There you are. I'll button you up.
Fine.
Fine. You look good, Joe.
Well, now, what do I do?
Well, you go see the manager.
Where?
One flight above us. Room 508.
Say, it's awfully nice of you guys to fix me up like this.
Oh, we're glad to.
All right. Go ahead, Joe.
Aren't you coming?
No, the manager's waiting for you. He doesn't like other people around when he looks over prospects.
Well, okay. Room 508.
Right.
Wish me luck.
Well, that's that. I only hope he doesn't know the manager of the stock company. If he found out it was one of our operatives upstairs...
He won't. He'll be told his legs are too skinny, and that'll be that. Come on, let's search his clothes.
You know, I wish we really could give the kid a job on the stage. After hearing his recitation, I don't. You find anything in his pockets?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Here are his keys.
All right, toss them over. I'll make the duplicates.
Out on the street there looking at us, O'Connell?
Not a soul, Chandler.
All right, let's go in.
Here we are.
Lock it again.
Oh, that's right. Now, what's the theory, Chandler?
The theory is that as soon as I ordered the boys to stop watching this place, Harper moved back the printing press and the counterfeit revenue stamps. You want to test the theory?
Let's go.
There you are. There's the press.
And here are the stamps.
I guess it's up to us to close the door and wait here until Harper and company come back to work.
Okay, fellas.
You're sure it's all right?
Come on, Watson. Of course it's all right.
Hey, there's something bothering Watson and me, Harper.
Well, spill it, Kendall, spill it.
This guy you paid off, his name was Chandler.
Well, the man that came to us in Philadelphia was named Chandler, too.
Yeah, we thought then that he was a Secret Service man, and now we're sure of it. We're sure it was the same man that raided you down here.
So am I. But what of it?
It means the Secret Service has established a connection between us.
And?
We don't like it.
You ought to like it. After all, I bribed the guy. He took the money, didn't he?
Wow.
There's nothing to worry about. Now then, what place with you?
We brought him.
Okay, let's not bother with revenue stamps today. Let's make a little money today, huh? Say about $100,000 in $50 bills.
All right, let's get to work.
See? Everything's just as it was. Oh.
Put up your hands, boys.
I'll take those plates, thank you, Kendall. What's the big idea, Chandler?
You mean we have no right to be in here, Harper? Because we searched the place once and found nothing?
Yes.
Yes. Well, if you remember, Harper, I told you that we couldn't search this place again without further evidence that something was wrong here. You gave me that evidence.
I gave you evidence. What I gave you wasn't evidence. You know what I gave you, and before you drag me in, you'd better think over what I can tell about you.
You mean the fact I took money from you, Harper? That's exactly what my evidence is. You bribed me, Harper. And I turned the money and an affidavit over to the Secret Service. And that seemed to them like new evidence that something was fishy around here. So we got another search warrant. Let's go quietly, boys.
Pancho Torres.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Thorne will return in just a moment with our special guest. Speaking of things special, do you remember how happy you were to receive something in the mail when you were a child? Something with your very own name on the envelope? Well, here's a way to make some little friend of yours doubly happy. I say doubly happy because you won't be sending just mail. You'll be sending a Hallmark doll, a clever and colorful greeting card that's also a real doll. There are 15 different kinds, and each one is a famous character from childhood with an amusing story verse inside. They're cute as a bug, and they send Cinderella, Little Tommy Tucker, Mistress Mary, almost anyone you want. And what an inexpensive way this is to make a child happy. Only 25 cents. So why not send one real soon? See these Hallmark dolls tomorrow at any of those fine stores that carry Hallmark cards. And here is Franchot Tone again. Thank you, Franchot, for a great performance.
Thanks, Jay, but never mind me. I want to meet this expert you talked about.
Oh, he's right here, reporter of this original case history, which has no equal in the annals of counterfeiting. Stuart Robertson. Well, how did you like it, Mr. Robertson?
I enjoyed every minute of it, Mr. Jackson. And Mr. Tone was a credit to the service.
Well, I'm a much relieved man.
You might like to know the last chapter of that story. To me, it's the most interesting. While those two engravers were in prison awaiting trial, they had friends smuggle in engraving tools, inks, paper, and a complete press no larger than a cigar box. There, under the guard's nose, they made a $20 counterfeit note that later astounded the judge and jury. It's the first time in history, I'll wager, anyone ever made counterfeit money in a prison cell.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Thank you. That's certainly a surprise ending.
Hey, speaking of surprises, Jay, what have you got for us next week on the Hallmark Show?
One of the most unusual true stories we've ever told. That of a miracle that actually happened.
A miracle?
We call it the double miracle. It's a strange chapter in the lives of two men who are bitter enemies.
And who plays the lead?
Ralph Bellamy, in a role just made for him. You'll want to hear him next Thursday when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a magnificent drama of hatred, courage, and faith in a superb true story entitled The Double Miracle, starring Ralph Bellamy. Franchot Tone was supported by George Petrie in the role of O'Connell. The American Master Counterfeiters was dramatized by Robert Sanadella and was based on the true story by Stuart Robertson as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember, Hallmark cards, when you care enough to send the very best. Now, this is Jay Jackson saying good night to you all until next week at this same time, when our story will be The Double Miracle, starring Ralph Bellamy. Other stars soon to appear on your Hallmark program include Anne Blythe, Raymond Massey, and Burgess Meredith. CBS Concordia, broadcasting system.
This is KNBC, Kansas City, Missouri.